You're listening to The Broker Show with a Broker Joe, your expert in all things real estate. Hot topics, market trends, even your questions. It's all on the table. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch. Hey, it's The Broker Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've got some great stuff on the menu for today. But meanwhile, what's still on the menu are leftovers.
Yes.
Lots and lots of leftovers.
It is the greatest thing in the world. By the way, Broker Joe.
I'm the Broker Joe and hanging out with Etch here today. Etch, you doing good?
Going? Yeah, recovering? Dude, I'm doing outstanding because you know what? Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I don't care.
Like, your people favorite. Sit there, okay.
Christmas. I love Christmas.
Yeah,
don't
sure,
get me wrong.
Sure. Okay.
But I am a big fan of food.
Yeah.
If you couldn't notice.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like my favorite thing in the world. It's so true. Yeah. I would go as far as saying that.
Yeah.
But seriously though, I like getting together with family. I mean, I know things were kind of different for a lot of people this year.
Yeah.
Things were kind of off. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, on a normal Thanksgiving. Like, this is something that I love because I love cooking. I love food. I love eating food. I'm a big fan of food. It's a big fan of me, apparently. But my daughter's not a big fan of it. My oldest daughter, 11 years old.
Of food or Thanksgiving?
Both kind of.
Both kind
that's
of.
That's the weird thing. And that's the reason why she said that she didn't like Thanksgiving. I said, honey, why don't you like Thanksgiving? I said, you do understand that for many generations in the Etch family lineage.
Yeah.
Food has been like the staple.
It's been the staple
of what
it's been
we
important.
Do. Yeah, this is something.
It's your heritage.
Yeah.
It's your heritage.
This is how it works. Like, we come together. We eat. This is what happens.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even Italian, and I feel like I should be.
Yeah.
You know, the Irish heritage. But at the same time, you would think that it would be drink. But no, we eat.
Yeah.
So I said, honey, why don't you like Thanksgiving? Yeah. She says, well, I'm just not a big fan of the stuff that's on the table. I said, what do you mean? She goes, I don't like turkey. It's not really my thing.
Yeah.
I said, what about ham? She goes, I don't like ham.
Yeah.
I said, are you kidding me? So it got me to thinking. What is the one thing, like, what is the one dish that people bring in to the Thanksgiving smorgasbord, if you will?
Oh, I can tell you what it is.
That they just, it doesn't need to be there.
Mine comes right to the surface.
What you got?
I can't even remember what it's called. It's the red jelly stuff.
Oh, cranberry sauce.
Oh,
you don't like cranberry sauce?
I push it out of my mind after Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's horrible.
I like it.
And it gets on the plate and slides around and gets all the other food corrupted, you know? That's the only, I'm not real picky, but that stuff is nasty.
See, here's the way that I see it. The cranberry sauce for me is like when you, you go out shopping for your wife, you know, for Christmas or something like that. And you're like, oh, nice perfume would work. And then they have that little coffee beans that you go up and you sniff it just to kind of cleanse the palate.
Oh, yeah.
That's cranberry sauce for me. It's the in-between different things. And see, this is why I'm fat.
Okay. You know, but
I have a process of eating Thanksgiving dinner.
I do hear your daughter, though. Like, I was talking, I just got a haircut. My hairdresser
looks
talking
great,
to me. Thank you. And he says, Jay says, you know, I don't like the food at Thanksgiving.
Mm.
I don't like picking through trying to find the last bit of dark meat in that turkey, right?
Dark meat.
He's like, yeah, right. He's So he's like, why don't we have a holiday where we eat burgers and fries and steak and, you know, that sort of thing. But maybe you and I need to start one.
Yeah,
I think it'd be a hit, man. I think it'd take off. But I think Thanksgiving, obviously the name Thanksgiving and hailing back to the pilgrims and other cultures, that it's all about giving thanks, being thankful for what you have. And I know that the vast consensus across the country is let's get 2020 the heck over with.
Right.
And so, but I think it's so good to kind of slow down. And there has been in my family and the friends and family around me, it has been challenging and difficult, but there has been so much grace. We don't know what we can handle until we have to face it, until we have to step up to the challenge.
Right.
And there is a lot to be thankful for in spite of the turmoil and the pain and the loss and all those things. I think it's going to be a different Thanksgiving in that way, that we might have to dig deep to find what we're thankful for, but the things we find are going to be the things that actually hold a lot of meaning. And I know I'm getting really deep there.
No, it's good. That's what this whole holiday is about, besides the food.
It's easy to sit there and go, I'm thankful for the job and the family and the dog and all that. But this year, I hear people digging deep. For us, it was digging deep, saying what we were really, really thankful for, which was really each other and the grace that we've had to get through these tough times.
Well, that's one of the things that I've been talking about, like, over and over on my morning radio program, is just put everything aside and let's just take, at least if it's just for one day,
Yeah.
When we get together with our family, let's just be thankful that we're still here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But let's not be thankful for green bean casserole because that stuff is
nasty.
Yours?
Is that yours? Okay, that's the one.
Belongs in the trash. That and deviled eggs.
My son would agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah,
deviled eggs, that's the other one. Like, nobody wants to, like, why would you want to eat something that smells like a gas leak?
Yeah, you know?
And it's like, no thanks, I'm good. It's like, no. It's no. So that can go in the trash.
People put a lot of time into those little things. You know?
They do.
My fiance
is like, hey, did you like deviled eggs? I'm like, are you marrying me? Do you not know me? My mom always asks the same thing. She's like, oh, deviled eggs, I got some. I'm like, that's my brother.
Yeah.
My brother likes those.
There's
not me.
Four or five, they slide down really easy too.
Who was it in their right mind that looked at the other guy and said, hey, I got this great thing. Mayonnaise, mustard, paprika, salt, and pepper, along with the egg yolk. And I whipped it up to where it's like this soft stuff. And I put it back on the egg white that is boiled. And then you eat it.
Yeah.
Who did that?
Do you know, Etch, I've loved those things since I was like 3
really?
Years old.
Really? Oh, no.
And I think what happened is they slide down so easy. When I was 3, I just was like popping them like a chipmunk, right? Oh, they're just, I can't stop.
Feel bad for the wife the next day.
Absolutely.
That, anyhow, let's move on.
Yeah. We have some things of substance to talk about here today. Thank you for hanging in there. Yeah.
So, pandemic, it's still going on. I mean, who would have thought that, it's been like 9 months now.
It's getting worse. It's climbing.
It's crazy, right? It would still be here. You know, this is the crazy thing. And there's not a lot of relief financially in sight for a lot of different people. Yep. There's no like new stimulus packages that are even being spoken about right now. Yep. People are starting to worry. How is this, during COVID, a good time to say, you know what? I want to invest in real estate. I want to say this is my time that I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy a house.
Yeah.
Because it's still like, it's insane to me that during this pandemic, the market has been as hot as it has been.
Yeah.
And it's just wild, especially since this is a time that everyone's kind of in their own minds losing.
Yeah.
Yet at the same time, real estate is still winning. How is that? Like, is this a good time for this?
Yeah. There are factors at play, and we'll dive into some of those numbers, some stats. I'm on my 14th house, Some of those have been houses, most of them that I've lived in. Some have been specifically flips that I intended to make money on, maybe move in a short period of time and sell it in the future. But all of them with the intent of making money. Right.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day no one wants to buy a house unless they're retiring. They don't care. Right.
Yeah.
But no one wants to buy a house and then not be able to get rid of it and not be able to do something better for themselves in the future. So in some way, if you're a homeowner, you need to be thinking investment mindset. You need to be looking at timing, timing for life transitions and work. And sometimes things come at us and change our lives without us not having really a lot of control. But when you can control it, it's good to control it. So I've seen a lot of timings. I went through the first, my second home I bought. It was a duplex. I moved in one side, moved the renter in the other. It was a great concept, right? You move in and then someone pays most, maybe all of your payment renting the other side. And did not work for us. We moved out of that home and very quickly, within a year or so. And we had to rent out both sides from far away. It was in a different state. And so in a different state, trying to manage that rental. And I bought it high. The market collapsed. I lost about 35-40% of my equity. And then the entire north and west basement walls collapsed under the house.
No.
This is a two-story home. This is a big duplex.
Oh, that's like my worst nightmare. That's what I worry about.
Yep. So I wasn't there to see it. My mother actually lived nearby the home. She called me and said, hey, I don't know how to tell you this. Are you sitting down? And the two sides of the basement collapsed. Right. So recovering from that, I still own that home 13 years later.
Really?
Yeah. I have sold it on a land contract.
Okay.
Okay. So technically, I don't own it. Okay. If my tax guy's listening right now.
Sure.
But it's still in my name, right? I'm still waiting for that thing to be paid off from the land contract. Mm-hmm. So there's been many lessons learned along the way. Timing is a lot of it, right? And there's some things you can't control. However, there are things going on in our market, in Michigan, and in the United States that COVID has disrupted in some ways, but they're so built in that COVID can shake what has been going on, these trends, these housing shortages. You know, I'm a real estate broker, so I naturally love real estate. Real estate is a beautiful thing. 90% of the world's millionaires are millionaires because they invested in real estate. It's the single greatest way to build wealth. And not just wealth for you, but wealth for generations to come, for your children and their children, and the impact that it has on the economy. Whether you're flipping a home or building a home, you're putting people to work, you're buying materials, you're helping to drive the economic machine. Buying, flipping, whatever you're doing with a home, it's a really, really positive thing in so, so many ways. So I understand people's concern. I think that a lot of people, the rise of HGTV and all these shows have really brought to the forefront. You see all the flashy, all the fun stuff,
oh, yeah,
right? You see the money making, and behind the scenes, it is extremely challenging. That's some of what I want to dive into today. But you're a person out there, mm-hmm. and you're looking at. It's easy to say, well, COVID-19. Well, the stock market, well, my neighborhood, my environment, there's ways for you to kind of see behind the scenes what's going on, opportunity. People that are really good at taking advantage of opportunity, they're able to cut through the cloud, cut mm-hmm. through the haze and see what the numbers are saying behind the scenes. And there's really three things that you need to be thinking about as an investor in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Number one is the median home sales price in your area, right? So the average home sale price in your market. Mm-hmm. You need to be thinking about the months of available inventory. We talked about that in one of the last episodes. The months of available inventory, meaning the amount of homes that are on the market and how long it takes for them to sell off. And then number three, this is one that people don't think about, is the vacancy rate in a given zip code, state, or the country. Mm-hmm. The vacancy rate is a very key indicator because it is a true picture of how many people need housing at any given time. Because we know everything is organic, right? It comes up through the bottom. You start as a renter, you build your credit, you grow your career, you get a raise, and you buy a house, mm-hmm. right? This is what happens.
Right.
It comes up from the bottom like this. So the rental vacancy rate is really, really powerful testament to what's going on nationwide, statewide, and even locally in your county. So those three things are things you really need to think about. We have huge shortages in the state of Michigan across the board. But let's talk about nationwide first. So nationwide, we're about 1.5 million units short.
Wow.
This year, 1.5 million units short nationwide. Now, you will see as people change their markets, right? You see some markets, California's hurting bad right now. Mm-hmm. San Francisco dropped from 75% of houses having multiple offers to less than 12% having multiple offers
right.
year over year. I mean, it's very dramatic. People moving out just had enough, right? So then you see other areas, though, where you cannot find a house. Grand Rapids still in that same state.
Yeah.
Places like Nashville, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, other places like that, even Florida, really heating up right mm-hmm. now. So people moving there in droves, a lot of competition. And the local guys that are just trying to buy a house so they can go to work and they're not moving anywhere. They can't find anything.
Yep.
It's very, very frustrating. And so that's what you see overall nationwide, although there may be imbalances and changes in specific markets.
Right.
So in Michigan, we have a housing problem. I'll explain what's really, really causing a lot of the crunch. But by 2045, the state of Michigan estimates that we're going to be around, I believe it's 150,000 units short. That may not seem like a lot, or maybe it seems like a lot to you.
It seems like a lot.
It is a lot of units.
Yeah.
It is a lot of units. And this is when you hear a projection that goes out all the way out to 2045, that means there is a trend that has no immediate reversal in sight. It's going to take someone, that's capitalism, right? Someone filling the demand, whether it's in the building or you know, whatever may be going on, to rise to the occasion and fix that housing crisis. There's a need, someone's gonna try to solve it. Someone should try to solve it. So, but that long-term pressure on our market in Michigan, and especially you see it in the Western Michigan, right?
Yeah.
It's in Detroit, it's in Brighton, it's in all those areas over there, but especially you go from down in Michigan City and Gary, Indiana, all the way up through the coast, all the way up to Traverse City and even north through Pocosi and Charlevoix, you see just a housing crunch, crazy housing crunch.
So when it comes to that, you're talking there's a shortage.
Yes.
So my guess would be the answer are new builds.
It should be.
That's what you would think,
yep.
right?
Yep.
So
yep.
like a new build, you'd like, okay, well, yep. then let's make more houses.
Yep.
So how does that work?
So let me explain how that's working in our state right now. We have a unique problem. So the average price of a home, median price of a home in the United States is $277,000. Mm-hmm. I hear a lot of people saying right now houses are so expensive, it's crazy. Well, our average sale price here mm-hmm. is $130,000 in this county.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay?
Sure.
That's in Mikasa County. Now, in Michigan, the cost for a new build is $330,000.
Wow. Jeez.
The average new build is
$330,000. That's a lot of money.
Now, in the state, the average home sale price is $191,000. Mm-hmm. So you see the huge gap.
Yep.
Now, where should that gap be? It should be at 25%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nationwide, it costs $290,000 for new build. And nationwide, it costs $223,000 for the average non-new build. Okay, mm-hmm. So you buy a used home nationwide, average sale price $223,000. You buy a brand new build nationwide, it's right around $290,000, $289,000, $290,000. Okay, so that's a 25% gap between old and new. Seems to make sense, right? If I go buy a decent used car on the lot, I would expect to get a 25%, 30% discount, right? For homes don't correlate cars exactly, but you get the concept. So the problem is in Michigan, the housing prices, the cost of new builds are higher, $330,000. And I know everyone's saying it's homes are expensive, prices are going up, but the average sale prices statewide is $191,000, which is 75% underneath the cost of the new build. So you see what's happening is the disparity, which should usually run between 25 and 35% between the new and the old, is actually more like 75, even 85% in some markets. And it's incredible. And the builders can't do much about it right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge crunch on supplies. The hurricanes have not helped that. COVID has shut down factories all across the U.S.
Dad, getting lumber is just like insane right now.
Think about anything that's got to be used in bulk, that's got to be mass produced, right? And there is a very short window between supply and demand. Right. So it may seem like there's a glut of cars. There may seem like a glut of, I mean, it was just 2 years ago. We were talking about the glut of cars. There's car lots with cars they can't sell.
Mm-hmm.
COVID hits, factories shut down for 2 months
mm-hmm.
and everyone's out of cars.
Yeah.
Dealerships are out of cars. Everyone's out of cars. Price of cars goes up 20 to 25%.
Yeah.
In some cases with specific vehicles, even more.
Yeah.
Right. Crazy. So the gap between the supply and the demand is not as big as you think. And in Michigan, that is the problem. So we don't have any relief valve right now for the demand.
Right.
So we say, okay, we can go rent. Well, what are you going to rent?
Yeah.
Right. So that's probably the biggest problem. As many people as are calling for houses. And I mean, I listed a little house way back in the country yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of days, right?
Right.
Way back in the country, little house back in the woods. It's a nice house for what it is. It's a great home. Going to make someone a wonderful home.
Right.
Not a mansion, but it's a really cool place.
Mm-hmm.
Got 5 offers so far with 4 or 5 more coming. This is in rural northern Osceola County.
Yeah.
Okay. So people are expanding their borders. They're driving 30 minutes away now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So some people walk in the door and go, I want this and I want a pole barn and I want to be 5 minutes from work and I want to, and we go, oh man, you about to learn today. It is not that easy. And that's what the crunch is doing. So it is frustrating. I think I've had a lot of conversations with people saying I'm waiting it out.
Yeah.
Right. It's gotta come down.
Right.
And that's some of the question is, will it come down?
When?
Right. What could cause it to come down?
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I know one of the questions that I get a lot is, could foreclosures change the picture?
Yeah. That was going to be my question next.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to change all this stuff? Could it bring it back downhill
yeah.
in terms of like equity and, you know,
correct.
Inventory, that
yeah.
kind of thing? Like
yeah.
how does this all kind of even itself out?
I think everyone's pretty familiar with the nationwide eviction moratorium, right?
Yeah.
So it's basically saying, hey, landlords, you can't evict people. Hey, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you can't
yeah,
throw people
right.
out of their home. You can't
yep.
push them into foreclosure. So, you know, that is something that people are going, when this is over, what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? So forbearance is what precedes foreclosure. Foreclosure is when the bank says, nope, it's over, right?
Right.
It's over. So forbearance is that period, that gray area in between I'm getting late on my payments and I'm actually in foreclosure. So forbearance is the real sign right now that we're looking at, and the numbers we're looking at for what's
yeah.
coming. So nationwide, I believe it was HUD just put out a report maybe a week ago, 4.5% mm-hmm. of government loans are in forbearance. That
jeez.
Is very low. Yeah. It's actually very, very low. 4.5. I mean, I hate to hear anyone's in forbearance, but most homes statistically come back out of forbearance. Most of them actually do. So I know we might not have stimulus coming. Hopefully we do, mm-hmm. right? Hopefully there's things coming to get us over the hump through this thing, through the vaccine, through the good things that are coming into summertime. But right now, people are hanging in there. Mm-hmm. 4.5% forbearance is not a bad number. It's a any number is a bad number, okay? Right. Yeah. But it's not 10%. It's not 20%. We've seen huge numbers in the past with past crashes. We saw 15, 18, 25% of federally backed mortgages at some points in time in some areas of the country were in forbearance, meaning people are behind on their payments.
Yeah.
Someone's getting ready to knock on the door, right, and take the keys.
Well, that's what it was like during the recession that time.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, geez, foreclosure after foreclosure. You know, oh, I'm buying this on a short sale.
Yeah.
You know, tons of them. I mean, I know so many people that bought on short sales. Yeah. It's crazy. I know tons of people who had to short sell their house. It was
so
nuts.
Yeah. So it, could there be a glut of houses coming on the market, Etch, you know, that coming from the foreclosures, mm-hmm. coming from when next spring hits and some of these memorandums, all these things that are happening expire, come to an end? It could. It absolutely could. But there is always opportunity. There's always opportunity to buy and watch the market, be smart. We're going to dive in next year into some more details, but I really wanted to lay a foundation of where of some of the things to look at. Again, back to your market value in your area, back to how many months of available inventory are out there right now, and that rental vacancy rate, right? If that's low, it's going to keep continuing to put pressure. And in Michigan, it is incredibly low. Yeah. It is incredibly low. The biggest thing we have demand for right now is rental. Mm-hmm. People begging, keep people calling and begging our agents for rentals, land contracts, please help us find a way to get into a home. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of options for them right now.
Yeah.
Because the market is still hot. There's very little for sale. We talked about that a few weeks ago. So there are really good signs. There's always opportunity in the investment market in real estate. And again, we'll talk about some more details next week.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right. So next week, we are going to discuss kind of it's a part two of this whole series, and it's going to be entitled "The Right Mindset."
It
Can
is.
You expand a little bit? Just kind of give a little bit of teaser on what that means.
Sure. So most people are one and done. Mm-hmm. Okay. The vast majority of people, when they go to flip, they're one and done.
Right.
They don't have enough money. They don't have enough time. Mm-hmm. They don't have enough patience. They don't have enough skill. They don't have enough knowledge. Those five things, you got to have all five running, or you have to be in partnership with someone that does.
Yep.
And so I'm going to kind of unpack that. I've been through this. I haven't done as many as some people out there, but I work for a lot of house flippers. I've seen a lot of curves, a lot of failures, a lot of wins. And I've had a lot of wins myself. You've heard about my failure. I'll tell some stories about some of my wins next week.
Great.
Okay. And you'll get to hear some of that. I did just get to list a home for a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. They're on their second flip.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On their second one.
Yeah.
And the first one, it went good. Mm-hmm. They hit. I feel like there is no such thing as luck. I do not believe in luck.
Right.
I believe that hard work creates opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And so they had a great opportunity. They sold it. Everything went great. So they got their second one. Boy, we walked into this thing, Etch. And it was... we had to put wood down to cross over the kitchen floor. We had to walk like a plank. It was just gaping holes in the floor. It was wild, man.
Yeah.
Now, this thing is going live
later
today. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's stunning. They pulled up their sleeves, right? They counted the cost. They're learning. And we had a great conversation in their living room about all that they had been through, the learning process. And I try to give them some heads up. Hey, here's the things you got to look out for. Here's some things that really should concern you. Here's things that shouldn't. Here's where our price ranges are. Here's what the market's doing. Here's your timing. All those things, all very helpful. But at the end of the day, you got to roll up your sleeves, and it ain't HGTV up in there.
No,
it
no.
ain't. So,
which we'll talk a little bit about next. We kind of poke fun about that too.
Yeah.
So, because I have my things with HGTV. Trust me, I've seen some things.
Chip,
I have my questions.
Yeah, Chip and Chip and Joanna they make things look. I don't want to say they make it look easy. I think they try to insert a lot of truth and reality into their show. Mm-hmm. But there are some out there. We all see the memes, right?
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm Yeah. We all see the memes making fun of it, and there's not a lot of truth, a lot of it. Real estate agents, we just crack up when we see this stuff.
We'll unpack that next week. Yeah. So if they want to follow you on all your socials, let's start with Facebook. So Facebook,
it is The Broker Joe on Facebook. And on Twitter, it is at The Broker Joe. On Instagram, it is also at The Broker Joe. We'd love you to follow me, comment. We'd love to hear what you have to say. If you have something you disagree with me on, shoot it out there. I love to go back and forth with you. If you have something that you agree on, you have your own personal story, maybe I'll give you a shout out on the next episode.
There you go. So thanks for hanging out with us on episode 5, Real Estate Investment, The Right Timing.
The right timing.
Next week, we got you covered with part 2 of the series. So I'm Etch.
And I'm The Broker Joe. Thanks for hanging listening. In.